Welcome to This Week on DeveloperWorks. I'm your host, Calvin Powers. This week on DeveloperWorks, we look at DB2's ability to pull in data from non-SQL sources. But first, let's look at some of the other new articles on DeveloperWorks this week.
Sundari Voraganti and Catherine Zeidenstein have updated their DeveloperWorks article on how InfoSphere Guardium can integrate Hadoop-based environments into Guardium's activity monitoring and auditing policies. They also show how to tailor Guardium's reporting capabilities to specific Hadoop environments, such as IBM Big Insights, Cloudera, Hortonworks Data Platform, and Greenplum Hadoop. In their article, you will also learn about a quick start monitoring implementation available only with IBM InfoSphere Big Insights. Mike Cassera has published an article about the new distributed development capabilities in Rational Developer for AIX and Linux version 9. In this article, he shows step-by-step instructions on how to use x86 developer workstations for core development, then port workloads to power systems running AIX and Linux. You'll be able to set up your own distributed development environments based on the guidance in this article. Craig Statchuk has published a how-to guide on DeveloperWorks that walks you through the steps required to implement an interactive map widget for use with IBM Cognos 10.1.1 Business Insight. The interactive map widget implemented in this tutorial can utilize online maps from popular vendors such as ESRI Maps, Google Maps, and Bing Maps. The tutorial provides example code that you can use as the starting point for your own interactive map widget in IBM Cognos.
Don't forget, you can get links to all those articles at ibm.com/developerworks/thisweek. My guest this week on DeveloperWorks is Brigitte Hauser. She is a software and database engineer at Toolmaker Advanced Efficiency in Germany. Brigitte published an article on DeveloperWorks about DB2's user-defined table functions feature, and I wanted to talk to her about that. Brigitte, welcome to This Week on DeveloperWorks. Tell us what DB2 user-defined tables are and why they're useful.
Okay, let's start at the beginning. Most programmers today work with select statements, but those select statements become more and more complex because files have to be joined together, results have to be condensed, new scalar functions have to be used, etc., etc. In most environments, I need the same SQL statement, not only in an query and an ODBC download, in an RPG program, in a Java program, and I have to redouble the same SQL statement multiple times. So instead of redoubling the code, we can wrap those codes in objects to reduce coding and to make the life easier. One way to do is to use a view is nothing else than a logical file based on a select statement. But within a view, we only have a single view is based on a single select statement. So if we have to execute multiple steps to get a result, a view is not the right instrument. So what we can do, we can write a program in either SQL or RPG and call this program. This is called a stored procedure. A stored procedure can return not only input and output parameters, but also result sets. But those result sets are a predefined form, and they cannot change. So I have to add additional programming to my source code. And now we have a look at the user-defined table function. User-defined table function is also a program. But contrary to a stored procedure, it's not called with a call statement, but it's included in a select statement in the from clause. So it can be used like any table or view in a select statement. So it's very easy to maintain it and to work on it.
Thanks, Birgitta. Now tell us what people will learn from your article.
User-defined table function is a program that can be used in a select statement and that will perform multiple steps. User-defined table function can be written in either SQL or with RPG or any HLR language and perform multiple steps. In my article, I wanted to show several examples that make the life in the day easier. That those examples that can be redoubled or slightly modified. The first thing I showed was an example where I have a critical query, for example, and I need to know who called this query and how often it was called. And though I added my query in a user-defined table function and added before I execute this query, I wrote a record in a log file. The other thing was I wanted to use an CL command that produces a temporary file and read this temporary file after. So instead of doing those steps one after the other, I wrapped them in the user-defined table function and returned the example. So it was the easy part with SQL dot procedures. But the most user-defined table function are much more powerful because those user-defined table function can be written in any language, HLL, etc. And in this way, we can also access objects that are not database objects, for example, a data area or a file located in the IFS or a user space or things like this. Because most of our programming languages have already methods or functions that can be used, and when wrapping it in a user-defined table function, it can be used with SQL, and it even can be used from any programming language that executes SQL. So I can easily write an RPG program, wrap it as user-defined table function, and execute it from Java or the inverse. So in this way, it makes life much easier because it's simply wrapped in an SQL object that can be used in a select statement and perform. The trick with external procedures is callback processing is used and it must be understood. But as soon as it is understood, it is very easy to write user-defined table functions in any language and use them in any other language where SQL can be performed.
I really liked the example in your article about how to read from an external CSV file and pull it into that SQL environment. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Today, a lot of data exchanges is performed with CSV files. And normally, I've seen a lot of examples. People take those CSV files, copy them into physical files, and read them after with RPG or any language, or use user-defined Unix-type APIs and access those IFS files directly, read them, and move them into tables to get them so they can be worked with any other language. Since I suffer from a pointer phobia, I do not like those pointers in the Unix-type APIs, and so I looked for something that makes life easier, and I found out I easily can access those files in the IFS with file reference variables in embedded SQL, and reading those information from the IFS with file reference variables that allow me to access those IFS files as if they are character fields makes easy to read them and wrap them in a user-defined table function. So I split the CSV file into columns and return one column after the other, and directly access now this CSV files with my SQL statement, and then embed it, for example, in an insert statement, so I can transform my content of my CSV file directly into a database table, or I can read it and can group it, and whatever I want to do it with this CSV file, I can manage it now as if it's a
Thanks, Brigitte. I'm sure that anybody who needs to write a user-defined table function is going to find your article very helpful. That's all the time we have for this episode. Don't forget, you can get a link to Brigitte's article and all the other articles mentioned on this episode at ibm.com/developerworks/thisweek. We'll see you next week on DeveloperWorks.